If you have your Bible, would like to look along or would use the Pew Bible afforded you today, we continue in James chapter 1. We're in verse 16 today, and we'll continue to verse 18. Our sermon is entitled today, The Fount of All Good. The Fount of All Good, from James 1, 16 to 18. Now, last week, we heard in this place about a temptation that some folk have, and it's this: when vexed with some sin, that God is tempting me. I am tempted of God, we read in the Scriptures from about verse 13 of last week. And this is wrong on several levels. I'm just going to name two. It is wrong because it assigns to God an evil nature contrary to His Word, and it assigns to Him the capacity to do evil, and in particular, to be the author of sin, which He has expressly declared not to be. But our God in His Word, through His servant here, James, humanly speaking, the half-brother of our Lord, teaches us otherwise, that our God is the fount of all good. In fact, He's the ultimate fount. No good comes ultimately from any source other than Him. So let's hear God's Word about it today. Verse 16 of James 1, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." Here ends the reading of God's Word. Makes no mistake, entirely trustworthy. We can rest ourselves in it and in Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You again for the hearing of Your Word read in this place, and we pray for its proclamation. That'll be on target with the right words, the right attitude, the right posture, the right help, unction, charisma, anointing in the Holy Spirit. To the end that You, O Lord, would be well pleased and made much of, and that we, Your people, might have the benefit we need for our souls and for our lives. For this we ask, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We read here that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Everything good, everything free of imperfection, comes from above. So glad to hear that, because sometimes, even in Christ, but certainly outside Christ, folk will believe themselves that, you know, I am the fount of every good. Or they might believe that, I'm not even sure I can do this right, but the fount of all good is in the bottom of this glass bottle with ice cubes. Or, you know, the fount of all good is in this lovely creature under my arm, or something like that. And it's just not so. The fount of all good is in God alone. In 1989, there's a movie called Great Balls of Fire about the killer, Jerry Lee Lewis. Entertainer, I may get in trouble for this, but I am not going to say pianist. Entertainer, Jerry Lee Lewis. Who is first cousin, as you know, to Mickey Gilley, who is also first cousin to the Reverend Jimmy Swagger. There is a scene in the movie. I don't know where they are. They're all from Northeast Louisiana. But there's a scene in the movie where I think Jimmy Swagger has provided a car for his ministry. And Swagger, true to form, is given the line, "Praise the Lord." To which Jerry Lee replies, "Don't thank Jesus, thank Jerry Lee Lewis." That's the line. Now, most of us would not state the matter that baldly, and I hope Mr. Lewis sees better what Mr. Swaggart did at the time. That nothing else and no one else is the fount of all ultimate good. This is something we have to eventually teach our children. They're taught to look to us as preparation to look to God for their everything. But they figure out eventually that the bank of daddy is occasionally in straits. And in any case, it is not limitless, it is not finite. Regardless of what they thought I was rich when they saw the loose change fund on the dresser, being very small. But it comes to a point they see I have limits. And here's the distressing thing. I was way out in front of them on that. I realized I had limits long before they came along. And as a result, I am not the fount of their ultimate good. That's a bummer. But I am not the fount of their ultimate good. God is. Moreover, avoid the temptation if you can that God is the fount of some forms of good but not of others. He is the fount of everything that is good. If you will trace that line all the way back, you will see that it has to end in the being of God. It doesn't stop anywhere else. Everything good that we have and that we are comes ultimately from Him. And apart from Him, we just simply have no good thing. We need not be deceived on this. In fact, we are encouraged, commanded such here in verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren and sister. God is not the author of bad. Rather, He is the fount of everything good. But there's more here. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. My first sermon while among you, the third Sunday in October 2011, was this one. Though things and we change. It was from Hebrews 13, verse 8, which says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I preached a revised version for you on the 5-year anniversary of my being with you. Things change. There are pictures in my office at the time of my installation here, which would have been the fourth Sunday in October 2011. I looked a certain way. I looked in the mirror this morning. Those pictures are no longer identical. I change. And things change. Cars get older and wear out. I'm fond of telling Tom nothing mechanical ever gets better all by itself. He can repeat that almost like a mantra. Nothing ever gets better all by itself. Bodies may sometimes, quote unquote, heal themselves under the providence of God, who is the ultimate healer. But things a lot of times do not get better. They alter, they change. Camille was ready to leave Trimont Trail once Duke Energy came by and topped the trees. She was ready to have a new house. They had messed up her climbing trees. She was 10 and a half. Well, we drive by and we notice that thanks to the wonderful, wonderful offices of Duke Energy, those trees no longer are there. They had to entirely take them in order to bring the new line through that part of Franklin. So we're happy out on our lead knob in Otto. Things change. We change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the sole anchor in a world of shifting sand. Remember the hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." My first church experience that I can remember was about 5 years old in the Livonia Church of God. And I can still remember Miss Pam Vaughn, now in heaven, then paraplegic, teaching us. The wise man built his house upon the rock. I had never seen such a thing. I never heard of such a thing. I thought that word at the end of the prayer was all men, like everybody. And I learned the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And that house went splatter, crash, or whatever sound you make. And the younger you are, the bigger the sound tends to be. But we have this from God, Malachi 3:6. I, the Lord, do not change. He is changeless. As He has been, He is, and evermore shall be. And isn't that good in a world where many of us are tempted to say that the only constant in this life is change? Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Though God the Father be the Father of lights, as we read here, and though Jesus Christ Himself is the light of the world, there is no variation in Him. He is ever constant. There is no shadow in Him due to change. I look forward to shadow coming across my deck, which faces east, depending on the time of year, between about 2:30 and 4 in the afternoon. If it's not too bad on a summer afternoon after about 4, I can take my trusty book and I can go to my trusty deck chair and I can sit down and I can enjoy said book. I do not do that when the sun is on top of my head. But if I get shade, that we can do. And so I enjoy that. But I find it very interesting that there is no variation due to change in him, no change of shadow due to him. In fact, rather, he being the light of the world dispels every shadow that would exalt itself against him. He is utterly, utterly changeless, this fount of every good. But there's more. Verse 18, he makes us the first fruits of his creation. We hit this in the Sunday school. I have concern about university education that does not have Christ fundamentally at the center of it. Because you will be taught a certain view of man that we are nothing special in whatever we see. You'll read about certain philosophers who will say something like, our number just came up in the Monte Carlo game. We just got lucky. We're nothing special. There's no divine initiative about us. There's no all-wise, provident, benevolent hand moving and guiding and providing. And there are a lot of our young people that buy into that. And I'm here to tell you where it's from. I'm going to use Steve Brown's words. It's from the pit, and it smells like smoke. You know where it's from. Fact is, and I read from this book, and any truth that claims to be truth better square with this, either expressed or by reasonable inference. But what I am told is that we were made in the creation order late on day 6. In the image of God, made in male and female. What I'm also told is that at the end of every day of creation, it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and we get out to day 6 after this creature created in His image, made to worship His Maker, was made. Then and only then do we read that, behold, it was very good. Only then. We are the acme of His creation. We are called to exercise dominion, to rule and subdue it. Fill the earth. That's what we're called to do. He makes us the first fruits of His creation by bringing us forth, naturally in the usual biological way, but supernaturally by the secret work of His Holy Spirit, regenerating our souls, our dead souls that they live. And He does this by the Word of truth, Scripture as quickened, by the Holy Spirit. And at the end of all those labors, after He had made man, God rested from His labors. Not that He needed it. His energy is inexhaustible. But He did it as something for us to note. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is a Sabbath, holy unto the Lord. On it you shall not work, neither you, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor the strangers in your gates, nor all these animals. For the Lord created heaven and earth in 6 days, and the seventh day He blessed. Therefore, we are to rest upon it. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that He has given us. And part of that is we get to come in here and to be together and to worship Him. We are the acme of His creation. Don't listen to the liar downstairs who will tell you that you are any less than that, individually or together. And that's hard to remember because he's a discourager. In fact, there's an old joke out there that says that discouragement is his most valuable weapon and is not for sale at any price. He's a discourager. And we just need to remember that. And somebody needs to hang a mirror because I need to remember that. We are the acme of His creation, especially as redeemed in Christ. He knows the plans He has for us, Jeremiah 29:11. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us a hope and a future. And sometimes that's a faith statement. You say, Lord, I know this is true, but there's a lot in me resisting that that's true. And then there are other days you just know it down in your bones deeper than you can possibly express that this is true. Imagine by now few of us would state that God tempts us to evil. Yet we may wonder, in the midst of some painful or protracted trial, that doesn't God have just a little bit of malevolence toward us? I mean, after all, if he didn't, why does it hurt so much? I have actually heard this. Something like this. From professing believers. God hates me. Therefore, this is happening to me. You know? And sometimes that's just pain talking, okay? And sometimes you just need to let that pain out. And there's a certain therapy in that. But you cannot support that fact anywhere in Scripture. The Bible says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And in that context, it's to love one another. We're more loved than we can possibly imagine. You may rest assured from the Word of God that it is not the case that He has any sort of malevolence toward us. He is the fount of everything good, of every good thing that you and I ever receive in life and in eternity. He did it. He did it intentionally. And He did it to glorify Himself and to bless and love you and me. And we just need to get that down deep. So, won't you recall the good things God has done in your life, particularly if you're tried today, particularly if you're hurting today. Won't you recall the good things God has done, is doing, evermore shall do in your life. 1897. Johnson Oatman Jr., who wrote Higher Ground, also wrote another hymn saying, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And you know, sometimes that's a hard thing because I know it hurts and it's acutely painful, or it's chronic hurt and it's just so heavy. And it feels like our praises are shot puts coming out of our mouths. They just go straight down swiftly to our toes and really hurt when they get there. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I've said it here before. It's worth saying again in this context. Remember Gordon Jensen's 1983 contemporary praise song. He lifts me up in spirit. When I lift Him up in praise, the more it seems I praise the Lord, the happier my days. By lifting Jesus higher, the less my burden weighs. He lifts me up in spirit when I lift Him up in praise. He's the fount of every good, y'all. Rest in that. Rejoice in that. And this is my loving exhortation, but it's merely what the truth is from His Word. Let's rest in Him. Let's rejoice in Him. Let's worship Him forever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege of proclaiming Your Word, declaring Your praise. Oh, it is right and comely to do. You are the fount of every good. This is our confession. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. This is our confession. Not unto us, Lord, be the glory, but unto Thine own name be the glory, that You have made us the acme, the first fruits of Your creation. You have made us for worship and for praise. Thank You, Lord, that You have called us and enabled us by Your Spirit to believe on You, to walk with You, and to worship You. Thank You for this aid to that end to which we come, this blessed sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We pray these things, O God, in the name of Him who loves us, who laid down His life only to take it up again, over whom death no longer has any hold, Jesus the Christ. Amen.